I invite you to turn, please, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. My text today will be verse 5. 1 Timothy 2, 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. When we have problems in our society, it is possible to obtain arbitration through a mediator. But what shall we do if the problem is between God and man? Can some priest stand in our place and plead our cause? Can a church be our advocate to resolve our differences? Am I able to bring about reconciliation between you and the God of this universe? Well, it's my objective today to discuss the subject of our mediator. We find it in our text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, and the title of my message is Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness and mercy toward us. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house, and we pray that the songs have been received to your honor and glory. And we ask that you would hear our prayers and that your perfect will would be accomplished. And we ask you to bless this portion of our service as we endeavor to discuss your word and to proclaim the truth of your word, that you would just touch every heart. We ask if there's any here today who is not saved, that they might be saved today. And we who are saved would be strengthened and encouraged. We want to honor you and worship you. We want to just give you the praise and the glory because you are God and there is none other. And so we worship you today. Forgive us for our sins, and Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and it's for His sake. Amen. Looking into our text today and discussing the matter that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. It says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. We think of that word mediator. The Greek word that's found here in the text means one that acts between two parties. It is one who interposes to reconcile two parties. It comes from a Greek word. The root word means middle or between. So we know it's a go-between. Somebody who stands between two parties, that is a mediator. And this one will represent both parties and so that there might be a reconciliation between them. Now, Webster's defines the word reconcile as to restore to friendship or harmony. It means to settle or to resolve. And so if we have differences, we want to resolve them. We want it to be reconciled. And so a mediator will do that between two parties. Now, this idea is expressed over in Job 9. Listen, if you will, and I'll read to you verse 32 and verse 33. Job speaking says, "For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." That word daysman there in the Hebrew language means to argue or to plead. It is to dispute or reason together. And so what Job is saying is, there's a problem between me and God, and there is no daysman betwixt us. There is no one to plead my case. There is no one to make an argument or reason. What he's saying is there's no mediator. And so we understand the term. And as we talk about Jesus Christ, the only mediator today, then you have that in mind, that He is the one who will stand between us and God and make it possible that our differences will be resolved. With that in mind, then, we want to think about the message that I have in store for us. I will talk about the need for a mediator, and then I will speak of the only mediator, as we find within our passage, of course. Then I will discuss the mediation, and then finally, the results of the mediation. So notice, first of all, as we just glance again at our text, 1 Timothy 2, 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I submit unto you there is a need for a mediator. If there wasn't a need for a mediator, there's no need for Jesus Christ. But there is one mediator that stands in our behalf and stands between us and God in heaven. And that's because, you know what? There's someone that's been offended. And there's someone who has done that offense, committed that offense. And then we have the offense itself. And so consider, if there's a mediator between God and man, then the offended one is who? The offended one is God. Now, I know sometimes from our human perspective, we like to blame God for things. We like to find fault with God, which is never a good idea. God is always just. God is always holy. He's good. God has not sinned. We're the ones that have sinned. And so if there is any problem between me and God, I can rest assured the problem lies with me. If there's any problem between you and God, the problem lies with you. It is not the matter that God has moved, God has changed, God has done something wrong, and I've been offended. God does not offend man. God is the one who is offended. And so we have the offended one who is God. And who is the offender then? Well, it's obvious when we think about that. We are the ones to offend. Man is the one who has sinned. And we're the ones who have caused the offense. The Scripture says over in Isaiah chapter 59, listen if you will, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Truth of the matter is, all men coming into the world, apart from Jesus Christ, have offended God, and all men are the ones who are the offenders. We are the ones who have sinned. We are the ones who have gone away from God. We are the disobedient ones. And so there is a problem. There is a gap. Our sins have hid his face from us. And so we have the offended one, and we are the offenders. But of course, then, the offense is what? The offense is sin. We departed from God. We missed the mark. We come up short. We're disobedient. And so when we do those things, we sin against God. The sin is the offense. We are the offenders. We're the ones to commit that offense. And God is the offended one. Now, I want you to keep in mind that God is holy and God is just. And because of God's justice and because of God's holiness, that demands that the law must be administered. Therefore, there can be no compromise. You know, there are people in our society that know that they've sinned against God, but they figure that when they die and stand before the sovereign God of the universe, that God will just simply understand. That God will say, well, you know what? I know life was rough and I know things were difficult, so just don't worry about it. That's what they think. But that can never be. That can never happen. Because God in his justice and in his holiness demands that the penalty be paid. We have violated his laws. We have offended him. And he just can't say, well, forget it. He cannot and he will not. Therefore, since we have sinned against God, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, by the way, that means that you're a sinner and I'm a sinner, there is a need for a mediator. There's a separation between us. I mean, you think about the sin that was committed by Adam and Eve in the garden. Everything was good right there at the beginning. Adam and Eve were innocent. They had not committed any sin. Now, the devil had. He was already cast out of heaven, and Lucifer and the fallen angels were all gone. And here comes the devil, and he tempts Eve. And he deceives her. And so she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then she gave to her husband, and he did eat. And so when Adam took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, through his disobedience, he threw the entire race, the human race, into sin. And because of that, every one of us who are born into this world through our fathers, you know what we have? We have a depraved nature. We're sinners against God. And what do you see in the garden? Did God do anything wrong? God didn't do anything wrong. What happened? Sin was committed. Disobedience occurred. And who committed it? Adam and Eve did. And so we have the need for a mediator because we have God in heaven who is absolutely perfect and just. He is the offended one We have committed sin. We're the offenders, and the offense is our disobedience. That being said, we find in the text that there's a mediator. We need a mediator. Now, the text is very clear for us as you look into it once again. The second point of my message is the only mediator. How many mediators can there be between God and man? It says there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And it is the man, Christ Jesus. That really is the question, isn't it? Since we've sinned against God and we have the need for a mediator, someone to argue our case before God and to someone to bring a reconciliation, well, who can do that? Who can bring that about? Can anyone just be a mediator? Can some priest be a mediator? And yet we find in our society there are certain branches of religion that will say, I can mediate for you. You come to me, you tell me your sin, and I will pray for you, and I will do this. And then, of course, you have to do some things yourself, but I can mediate. The truth is, no priest can mediate for us except for the high priest. And the high priest, by the way, is Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is only one mediator. And so no priest can mediate for you. I can't mediate for you. This church cannot be the mediator for you. We cannot be the go-between. Thus, you cannot just simply join our church and then have access to heaven because you're a member of Grace Memorial Baptist Church. We can't perform a mediation. We cannot do it. Only Jesus Christ is the mediator. And by the way, neither can Mary nor any of the other supposed saints. You can pray to them all you want. That's a mistake. They cannot help you. They cannot. They're not a go-between. There is only one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. There's no religious act that you can perform that will resolve your differences between you and God. So I'll join a church. I'll live a good life. I'll keep the commandments to the best of my ability, and that will make the offended one happy with me. It will not. Religious acts will not do that, and we'll discuss that in just a moment or two. And by the way, there's no personal quality that we have. Fact is, you are the offender. Now, I know among men, if I offend you, I can come to you and we can resolve our differences. We might even offer compromise, you see. And so among humans, there is the matter of two parties that can be resolved with or without a mediator, often through compromise or a resolution of some sort. But that just doesn't happen with God. God is not the one that moved. We're the problem. And so we have nothing to offer God. If I'm the one who offended against God, I can't go to God and say, listen, God, I ask you to forgive me. Well, that's a good thing. But I can't do anything or provide anything or produce anything whereby I can obtain righteousness. You know why? Because I'm already a sinner. I'm already at fault. I've already committed the offense. What can I do to take that offense away? There isn't anything you can do to take that offense away that you committed before God. You've offended God. How can that be satisfied? You cannot do it. There is no personal quality in you, no ability, and no righteousness that you can produce to please the one whom you've offended. And so we find our text makes it clear that there's only one mediator, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Now, why is it I cannot bring something to God? Simply, it's because of the wretchedness of the offense. You see, we are guilty already, and we have absolutely no recourse to satisfy the justice of God's demands. We cannot satisfy His laws. You say, well, I think I can. Well, try that in the civil courts and see if they buy that. And if you get pulled over for speeding and you go to court and you say, well, Judge, I did this. Yes, I was speeding. I admit that. I was going 100 in a 55-mile zone. But you know what? I will never do it again. I will never, ever speak. You think the judge is going to buy that? Well, I'm glad for that, but you know, what's he going to say? Well, I hope you don't speed because I don't want to see your face again. However, you've got a fine of about $250. That's what they're going to say. And if you killed somebody, you can't stand before a judge and a jury and say, yeah, I did take their life. I'm guilty of murder, but I won't do it again. I promise, I'll never kill again. I'll be good. That doesn't satisfy the sin, does it? It doesn't take away the offense. And so the wretchedness of the offense is what man needs to see. We have our own depraved natures which we possess. We inherited it from our father Adam. And the truth is, everyone born into this world aside from Jesus Christ inherits that depraved nature. You don't have to teach children to sin. They'll learn it on their own. You know why? Because it's in their natures. We have a tendency to, and the law will always bring out in us a tendency to go against the law. If it says, do not, if you tell your kid do not, you know what that does? Well, you need to instruct them not to do. But you know what that does? That automatically provokes in the rebellious heart, I want to do. Anybody who has kids know that that happens. And we know that happens in our lives. It's so easy because why? We're depraved. And we're spiritually bankrupt before God. Simply said, as I think about the wretchedness of the offender, man cannot perform the office of a mediator. Cannot do it. Now, we need a mediator because we've all sinned. And you cannot perform the act of a mediator. So with the wretchedness of the offense, the good news is there can be the reconciliation of the offender. And I think that's good news. Go, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a moment. I am glad to know that although I have offended a holy God, a righteous God, and there isn't anything I can do about that, I cannot produce a righteousness, I can't live a good life, I can't be religious, there's nothing I can do to make God happy, I am so glad to know, yet I can be reconciled to God. I can be made right with Him. And it's the matter of the reconciliation of offenders is going to be by who? It's going to be by Jesus Christ. He's the one mediator, right? Now we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look what it says in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And what He says is, man is a sinner, needs to be reconciled, but the only way we can be reconciled is through Jesus Christ. He is the one that has provided for us. He is the one that makes it possible. He is the mediator. That's what we see in our passage. And so those who are saved have been reconciled. Yes, there was a time in my life I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was away from God and alienated from God. And rightly so. I had offended God. But God in His grace and His mercy through Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made came to me one day, gave me eternal life, and you know what He did? He reconciled me to Himself. I am the offender, and God, the one who's offended, is the one who brought all that about so that I could be made right with Him. Isn't that tremendous? To be reconciled is to be restored to favor. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they lost favor with God. And the only way we can get that favor back, the only way we can please God, is to be born again, to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The only way we can be put back in right relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. No priest can do it. No church can do it. You can't do it. The one mediator is Jesus Christ. And when you think of that idea of reconciliation, I like the, this is not original with me, but the idea that you get a finger dislocated and you put that thing back in the joint, that's kind of what happens. We were out of joint with God, but when Jesus Christ saved us, we've been put back into joint. And so man cannot perform the office of a mediator, and we see that man cannot reconcile himself to God. You cannot do it, but Jesus Christ can. Therefore, we also find under this matter of the only mediator being Jesus Christ, since we can't do it, since we can't produce it, we need it to be done for us. And what we find in the Scripture is that there must be the redemption of the offender. Because I sinned against God, I need to be redeemed. And God requires that a man be redeemed. Listen, if you will, to the book of Psalm, and it's Psalm 49, verse 7 and verse 8. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. I cannot redeem you before God. You cannot redeem your children before God. You cannot redeem your spouse. And you can't redeem yourself. There must be a redemption of the offender, but you can't do it. You cannot bring about that redemption. And, by the way, neither can you offer up some sort of animal sacrifice to bring about your redemption. Because you may be thinking, wait a minute, in the Old Testament, they offered up lambs and goats and bullocks, and these things were for sacrifices, and God would forgive them. Well, from a human expression, we'll just say, what God was doing through those sacrifices is rolling the sin forward, because only Jesus can take away sin. Listen, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." The sacrifices that were made were offered because it satisfied the demands of the law. However, it doesn't take away sin, because you read just a chapter down from that in Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 4, it says, "It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." So don't think for a moment that you can act as a mediator to some extent and offer up some sort of animal sacrifice, a lamb or a goat or a bullock, and that God would see that blood and accept that blood and therefore will redeem you based on the blood of that animal. It cannot happen. It will not happen. The only blood that God truly recognizes for the forgiveness of sins and for atonement is the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing that song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Now you look into our text and we find that, hey, it talks about the office of a mediator. And we need a mediator, don't we? Because we sin against God. Now Jesus is the only mediator. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only mediator for our sins. But there's something else, and you have to look into verse 6 to see this. Not only does he perform the office of a mediator, but he performs the mediation. How tremendous is that? It says, "Who," that's a reference to Jesus Christ, "gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Jesus is not only our mediator, he is the mediation. We must be reconciled. We must be redeemed. How can that be done? I can't do it. You can't do it. A church can't do it. Some dead saint can't do it. No one can do that but Jesus Christ. Now, when I think this matter of a mediator, I want to give you a brief definition from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words for under the word mediator. And it's the expression as regard to our text, but listen as he defines this. Literally, it is a go-between. And it's used in two ways in the New Testament. Now, I'm only going to offer you one because this is the text we're dealing with. One who mediates between two parties with a view to producing peace, as in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Though more than mere mediatorship is in view, for the salvation of men, listen, necessitated that the mediator should himself possess the nature and attributes of him toward whom he acts, and should likewise participate in the nature, I just said that, for those whom he acts, sin apart, he doesn't sin, only by being possessed both of deity and humanity could he comprehend the claims of the one and the needs of the other. Further, the claims and the needs could be met only by one who, himself being proved sinless, would offer himself an expiatory sacrifice on the behalf of men. And what he says there is, not only is he the mediator, he's the mediation. Christ left heaven, laid aside the glory of heaven, came to earth and took himself a human body. Philippians chapter 2. Emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, why did Jesus become a man? Because he was redeeming fallen men. He didn't become a goat. He didn't become an animal. He didn't become an angel. He became a man. And because he became a man, he could be a substitute for men. And then being the sacrifice and being the substitute for us, we can have his righteousness. You see, what happens in the matter of being justified is that our sins are credited to His account and His righteousness is credited to our account. And we are forgiven of our sins. And so we couldn't do it. No animal sacrifice could do it. No church can do it. But He's the only mediator, and He's the mediation. He gave Himself a ransom for us. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 21, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." God the Father made His Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He did not know any sin. Jesus was pure. He was spotless. There was no guile found in His mouth. Now, why did Jesus Christ, who was perfect, become sin for us? It says in the last part of that verse, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What did Jesus do for us on the cross? He became the mediation for us. We have offended the holy, living God. We're the offenders. We're the transgressors. We're the ones who disobeyed. We're the sinners. And the offenses which we commit have been sins against God. And yet Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. Not only the mediator, but the mediation. He became the Lamb of God that should take away the sin of the world. He became a substitute. Listen to one theologian who said this: "Man was the captive of sin. He was unable to ransom himself because absolute obedience is due to God. And therefore, no act of ours can satisfy for the least offense. The Son of God therefore became man in order that, being made like unto us in all things, sin only excepted, as our elder brother, He should redeem us by offering Himself as a ransom." A substituted or equivalent ransom. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the Reconciler. Jesus Christ is the Mediator. And what does that result in? Jesus and His work and what He has provided for us. Turn, if you will, to the book of Romans chapter 8. What do you find? It resulted in satisfaction. The problem is you have two parties. There's a gap between them. You have the offended and you have the offender. How is that going to be resolved? Well, we know it's through Jesus Christ and the provision which He has made. And because of His substitutionary sacrifice, because of what He's accomplished for us, that can result in satisfaction. Romans 8:3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." Who did that? Jesus did. When you have a problem with somebody, you want satisfaction, don't you? You want a resolution. You want to be happy with the situation. Mankind can often do that on their own. We understand that between men. We can do that if you go to a place of business, they don't perform perhaps the service or the product that you bought may not have been very good. Then you know what? You might be able to talk to them. They might be able to do something to make you satisfied. You have a grievance with your company. You often have mediators. And you can resolve that to where you're satisfied. Well, the thing is, God is the one who's been offended. How can He be satisfied? Only through Jesus Christ. So we read in Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 11, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities." Aren't you glad for that? Jesus is the sacrifice so that we might be forgiven of our sin, so that God might be satisfied with us through the provision of Jesus Christ. And so this result, what Christ has done for us as the mediator and the mediation, it results in satisfaction. God can be satisfied. God can be pleased. And what that does then is produces in us a salvation. You're there in Romans. Go back to chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And it says this in verse 24. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, or covering, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us, He bore our sins, God looked down, saw the travail of His soul, and was satisfied, and because of that, we can have salvation. We can have eternal life. We who offended God and committed the trespasses, though we have nothing to offer, Christ offers in our place. And God can be satisfied. So I read, go over to chapter 5 of the book of Romans, chapter 5. What's it say in verse 9? Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement, or the reconciliation. Christ is our mediation. He's the ransom for sinners. But then the last thing I want to bring to your attention very briefly, as we've seen it, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. What is the result of that mediation? Well, I just discussed the issue of being saved, but how is it that we're saved? It's procured through the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, as a lost sinner, I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was alienated from God. I was a stranger of the Lord. I was an enemy of God, and I was not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed could be, the Scripture tells us. I had offended God, and my sins have separated me from God. But what did Jesus do? Jesus died on the cross for me, was buried, rose again the third day, and He gives eternal life to all who believe. But you know what happened? One day God came to me and gave me life. Now, that being said, the results of the mediation is a new birth through Jesus Christ. How's that going to take place? Very simply, as you just think this through, the offense is atoned for. The problem was sin, wasn't it? And God just can't say, forget it. Sin must be paid for. And either you're going to pay it or Jesus paid it. One of the two. But the offense is paid for. I'm saved today. I believe with all my heart, if I should drop dead this very instant, I'd be in the presence of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He came to me. He saved me. He gave me eternal life. He's my ransom. He redeemed me. He's my mediator. My offenses, which I've committed against God and shall commit against God, has been atoned for. They've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. The result of the mediation is my sins are atoned for. The offense is taken care of. That being said, then, the offender is forgiven. I am the one who committed it, those things. So, I am forgiven because my offense has been cleared. And that, thus, the offended is pleased. God looked down, saw the travail of the soul, and was satisfied. You know, when He looks at me, He sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ. In my own person, I am nothing. But through Jesus Christ, I am everything. I am a son of God and an heir of God with Jesus Christ. I have a home in heaven and an inheritance that's undefiled, reserved, waiting for me. And if you're saved, you know that's true with you. You know how all that could be? Because you were a fallen individual. The sin which you committed had been paid for, and your offense has been satisfied. So as an offender, you can be forgiven, and the offended one is happy. He is pleased. But there's one other thing I want to mention about the fact that Jesus Christ is our mediator, and it is this. The mediator persists in mediating offenses even yet today. You know what the Scripture tells us? Look at 1 John chapter 2 if you'd like to. Keep a finger in Romans. I'm going back here in just a second. I'm just about through. 1 John chapter 2 in verse 1 it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We have an advocate, the go-between, the mediator. He still mediates for His people yet today. There's only one mediator in regard to salvation. There's only one mediator in regard to this life and living. and the things which I commit as sins since I've been saved, and that's because Jesus Christ is my advocate. I can't, it's not that, well, he saved me and then it's kind of up to me to work it all out. It cannot be that way. Christ is still the mediator. So there in Hebrews chapter 7, let me read to you this text. Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 25, it tells us this. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As a Christian, as one who's been born again by the grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? He still pleads my case. Intercedes for me. And so one final verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 34 tells us, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we know what John says in 1 John. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How shall he do that? Based upon the provision of Jesus Christ. As he is our mediator, he still pleads our case. And if the devil should go up before God and point out anything and say, look at that, there's your Christian, that's how much he loves you, look at the things that he does, look at the things that he thinks, look at the behavior of all these people, and he can accuse us, and he is the accuser of the brethren, Jesus Christ steps up and says, I am the intercessor, I am the mediator, it's bought and paid for. Christ is our mediator. He is our mediation. And he still performs it for his people yet today. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. So in conclusion, let me say this very rapidly. Man cannot cleanse his corruption. Man cannot alter his condition. Man cannot remove his condemnation. Man cannot effect his correction. Man cannot restore his connection. Jesus alone is the mediator between God and man. Four things. Number one, the unbeliever should recognize his sinful condition and spiritual inability. You're here today and you're lost. You need to see that you're a sinner. You offended a holy God, and there isn't one thing you can do about that. You have transgressed God, and you cannot make it right. You cannot be your own mediator. There's only one. It's Jesus. Secondly, the believer must realize the only mediator is Jesus Christ. Would you look to him today as Lord and Savior? Would you repent? Would you believe on him? Would you trust Christ today and be saved? Only he can give you eternal life. Only his sacrifice of himself satisfies God's justice. Then number three, the believer, you're hearing your say, the believer should recognize he has been saved by grace through the merits of Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator. I guarantee you, if you're truly saved today, you've only been saved one way, and through one person, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. And so therefore, my last point is this. Every believer ought to honor the mediator and bow the knee before him. Ought we not love the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who became a substitute for us, the ransom for our souls, the mediation? And he acts as a mediator. We should respond in love, in kindness, and submission to Jesus. May God work in our hearts today as believers that we would see our Lord and love him and be drawn to him. And may he work in the heart of an unbeliever here today that you might see your need of Christ. You've offended God. The only way that can be made right is through what Jesus has done, because he is the only mediator. I point you to Jesus today. Appreciate your kind attention. I'd like for us to stand and sing. I want to ask you to turn to number 342. 342. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray that you'd overcome any frailty of speech, any miscommunication, that God, by your Spirit, you'd take the truths of your word and apply it to every heart today, that the lost might see their need and repent and believe We pray that you grant those graces to them today, that they'd be saved. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation we have through Jesus Christ, who mediated for us, that we might be made right with you, and continues to mediate for us as we live day by day in this world. Lord, we look forward to the day of seeing you face to face. We'll put off this flesh and put off this body of sin, and we'll be made right before you. We look forward to that day. Lord, we honor you, we love you, and we ask that your perfect will be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.